Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
And welcome to Today's Issues. I'm not Tim Wildman. I only dream of being Tim Wildman. No, Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today and tomorrow. I'm joined in studio by Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Good Thursday morning to you.
It is Thursday morning, November 13th. You guys remind me to wish my sister a happy birthday tomorrow. I'll be in big trouble if I don't. So Wesley Wildman is also in studio. Good morning.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
And Chris Woodward. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning.
Yeah, my daughter's birthday was the 9th. My youngest sister's birthday is the 14th. The older of my sisters is the 17th. If I forget birthdays in November, I'm in big trouble. Mm-hmm.
That's for sure. Now, are you in the middle of all of that?
Or no,
are you,
I'm the older.
You're oldest. The oldest?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I should know this. How many siblings do you got?
I just have two.
Two, okay.
Two sisters and one wife. I'm the husband of one wife.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
We know where you are on that issue. Yes.
Well played.
I'm a full, firm believer in the biblical model of marriage. So,
but the point is there, you got three females that remember things better than we do as men.
And my wife's birthday is October 31st. That's about a two-week stretch that you could just ruin your life.
Yes.
You get a little forgetful. And
you want to say, could you not have been born in November? Okay. Even if it's just the first. That way we can just, you know.
No, I'm born at August 26th. And after that, I don't care whose birthday's coming up.
There you go.
I start paying attention towards the end of October. So I have no idea. Oh, yeah, it was because of November the 13th. Remember that my sister's, but I'll probably forget tomorrow.
Now that we've talked about it
now
this
that
much.
We've talked about it. So, all right. I'll tell you what, before we start, let's
knock out some bullet points here.
Yeah, let's knock out a little commercial for shoeboxes, Christmas shoeboxes.
Yeah, we want to encourage our listening audience. We want to ask you to come alongside AFR and Samaritan's Purse and do this shoeboxes. National Collection Week is something that we promote every year. It's something that you hear at your most of the local churches. You're hearing about it, and you're going to see it on social media and everywhere else. And that's National Collection Week, all the way from now all the way through November 24th. Is Collection Week. Now, November 24th is a date you need to remember and write down, because after that, it's too late.
Right.
So don't wait till the last minute. That gives you 11 days to get this in. And,
correct.
And so if you go to samaritanspurse.org/OCC, there's all the information that you'll need. There's nearly 5,000 drop-off locations, and you'll be able to see those 5,000 drop-off locations. And you'll have an opportunity to type in your zip code, and then they'll pull them up there. Most people listening have heard about this, been doing it for years. Anyways, go to SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. They have a goal this year. They're hoping to reach 12.6 million children with the gospel through a simple shoebox. And so, please,
12.6 million.
I'd be interested to know what they've what the numbers were in years past. I know if that's a goal of theirs, that means, you know, they're trying to
exceed what they did last year.
And, yep.
All right. So what's the website so it's people can get more information?
Let's see, SamaritansPurse.org/OCC, and there you'll be able to find. We're wanting to fill these shoe boxes with fun toys, personal care items, school supplies. There are other gifts that are suggested on the website, so go check that out. And you'll be able to see your drop-off location. You'll be able to see what you can and cannot put in the shoe boxes. Please do this. Please do this. You're looking at $20, give or take, $20. Depending on how, you know, what you put in there, of how much it's going to cost you to participate in this. This is something we're all as parents, with all the activities, entertainment, and the distractions, and even all the good distractions that are out there. this is a very this is a very good thing that would bring families together to carry out Matthew 28, and that's our ultimate goal. That's our ultimate mission, is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, and this brings families together to do that. And we want you to do that.
And it's such a simple, yet powerful thing. We, you know, the testimonies that, and like you said, lots of churches do this. So a lot of our listeners have heard some of these testimonies. It is such a simple way to reach out to people on the other side of the world that you may never see until heaven, but you can impact their lives. So check that out. Go to SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. That stands for Operation Christmas Child at OCC. And give it a whirl, folks. It's a great thing to do with your kids, too, because it kind of gets them focused outside themselves.
Amen.
And thinking about people who have far, far less. Generally speaking, that's probably true about most of our listening audience. All right, Chris. Let her rip.
The federal government is back open for business today.
Yeah, boy.
Hey.
Can you hear me?
Atta boy. Oh, I can hear you. I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay. All right. I'm getting looks like it. Maybe my mic wasn't working. Maybe my mic wasn't included in the bill Governor or President Trump signed last night.
Well, that was the look you get when you said the government's back open.
Yeah. It was shut down, which made life difficult for millions of Americans. Now it's reopened, and it's going to make life difficult for millions of Americans.
That's right. Six weeks shut down?
Yes. Yeah, 43 days. Longest one on record. And I've got a ton of sound here.
I'm glad we got to be a part of that.
Yes.
Record.
Yeah. We did it. Okay. Yes, we can.
Usually records.
All right. But anyway, I've got a ton of sound here. Let me set this up before we get into some of the sound bites. For people that want to know, well, what do they agree to? The stuff that the Democrats were holding out for, they didn't get. Okay. The Republicans did hold the line here, and they have reopened the government through the end of January. They're going to go over various things that both parties want. People that were laid off from October 1 until yesterday are going to be brought back. SNAP benefits are going to be funded. When that's going to happen is kind of TBD. But basically, the federal government is back open for business today. And the finger pointing continues between Republicans and Democrats over who was in the right here. Let's begin with President Trump himself signing the bill to reopen the government late last night at the White House with a ton of Republicans behind him. Clip one.
For the past 43 days, Democrats in Congress shut down the government of the United States in an attempt to extort American taxpayers for hundreds of billions of dollars. Today, we're sending a clear message that we will never give in to extortion, because that's what it was.
Now, Republicans like Laurel Lee of Florida are saying we have to make sure nothing like this ever happens again. What Democrats wanted to do here or forced us to do is terrible. We're not going to let this happen in 2026. Meanwhile, Democrats like Hakeem Jeffries, the highest ranking member of the House, are saying we're only just getting started here. Clip three.
House Democrats will continue to fight to address the health care crisis that Republicans have created. And House Democrats will continue to fight to extend the Affordable Care Act tax credits for tens of millions of Americans. This fight is not over. We're just getting started.
Well, Fred, first of all, what Hakeem Jeffries was saying was it's not Republicans that ended these tax subsidies. It is the bill passed and signed into law by Joe Biden, which had a sunset provision. Okay, these subsidies end in 2025.
Yes.
So to say it was the Republicans who are at fault here, I mean, if you want to play this game, then technically it was the Democrats' fault for putting a caboose at the end of this train when the subsidies were passed in 2020.
Well, it made sense at the time because the increased subsidies were there because of COVID.
Right.
To pay for help people who were put out of work because of COVID restrictions, et cetera, et cetera. No, I think the Democrats, Hakeem Jeffries just left out one point. It is the Democrats that wanted to spend more taxpayers' money.
Right.
That's the bottom line in all of this. The Democrats would like to see more people on Obamacare because I believe they want to transition the company to socialized medicine is the bottom line in all of this. And a lot of people don't know, it wasn't just the healthcare subsidies. There were other things that the Democrats were throwing in there. For instance, They wanted to restore money to National Public Radio. Yeah. They wanted to restore the cuts that the Trump administration have made into sending money off to various foreign interests, et cetera, et cetera. Somebody said it.
That USAID stuff.
A lot of the Doge cuts.
What the Democrats really wanted was an extra $1 trillion in spending. I'm thankful Republicans held the line. There was a lot of internal pressure, even from President Trump at one point back a couple of weeks ago, to end the filibuster and go ahead. But congratulations to Senator Thune. With the help and the cheerleading of Mike Johnson, the House Speaker, to say, no, we're going to hold the line on this because we're not going to be, and I think the president may have used the word extortion, we're not going to be held to the extortion that the Democrats were trying to do. The big losers in this are the Democrats, and the big losers may be specifically certain members of the Democratic Party. Chuck Schumer, the Senate Minority Leader, he is in the crosshairs of the far left. They're blaming him. They're saying he gave up too easily, et cetera, et cetera. So for the Democrats, there is a price even yet to be paid inside of that party.
Because the Democrats, especially the radical left, growing in number and in influence, thought that Schumer was not able to hold the Democratic voters together.
Yes.
Because, Wesley, they had six Democrats. Looking at a headline here on Fox, six Democrats who helped end record-breaking government shutdown. So you have the far left now taking this incident with the government shutdown and using it to try to extend the powerful grip they already hold on the Democratic Party.
At least short term, this is a big political win for the Republicans in this point, just sheer not giving up.
Right.
Because so many times when there's an issue at hand, it seems to me that the Republicans usually fold, give up, break, or make a compromise so big it seems as if we got nothing from it.
Right.
What do you mean, a Republican, a conservative? And in this case, just politically, regardless of the size of the scale, which in this case it's a big one, but it just seems it's good to see that we have an example for the near future to say, listen, if you hold the line, that it's worth it.
Fred, I'll just say that some of the credit on the Republican side, precisely what Wesley's talking about, probably needs to be some of the credits needs to be given to President Trump, who publicly made it clear he did not want the Republicans to cave, because Wesley's exactly right. Republicans cave all the time. I mean, that's just kind of part of the way they operate in Washington. Mm-hmm. But President Trump was very strong in demanding that the party hold the line, and that probably helped stiffen the backbones of some of the Republicans that might have got a little squeamish as this government shutdown kept going week after week.
Well, one of the other factors were the heads of these big unions came on the Republican side. They blamed the Democrats. Don't forget the Democrats, was it 15 times, I think, Chris, voted to keep the government shut down.
Right.
That's right.
It was the head of the government employees union and some of the other big union players in there. They stood behind the Republicans on this. They blamed the Democrats. And these union people are normally Democrat supporters.
Right. Yeah.
So the Democratic Party,
that's true.
I'd love to be a fly on the wall when they're meeting to do the postmortem on all of this.
Yeah.
I really do believe Chuck Schumer's political future is in danger.
Mm. Well, there's already been whispers that AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, should primary him.
Yes. Mm.
And so there's already been that kind of threat out there. I don't know that AOC has said she would do that, but there's already to the left the danger of him getting primaried. And now for those who think this is a dramatic loss for the Democratic Party, may turn and hold him accountable. You really can't blame Hakeem Jeffries, because he has tried to hold this line, but his party is in the minority in the House. Not much he can do if Republicans stick together. And even though Democrats are in the minority in the Senate, you still had to reach that threshold to overcome the filibuster. So that probably will fall on Schumer.
It's going to be fascinating, the midterms coming up next year.
Yeah.
As to where the Democratic Party, because you're going to have a bunch of primaries, who's going to win those primaries?
Yeah.
The primaries are going to be a demonstration of the divide in the Republican Party. We're also going to
see the Democratic Party.
Pardon me, the Democratic Party. We're also going to see what happens to all the promises of Mamdani in New York.
Yep.
Is he going? You know, it's going to be several months into after he won the mayor's post there. He's promised some radical things, free transportation. He has promised, which, by the way, I believe Governor Hochul, a Democrat of New York, she's kind of stepped back from that a little bit.
Yeah.
He's promised, you know, the state-run grocery stores, all of these sort of things. So we're going to be sitting here 8-9 months from now and saying, okay, how's he doing there? And Democratic Party, are you still in agreement with what's going on there? Also, Chris, we have the mayor, the new mayor, it looks like, of Seattle. Yeah. She's being described as radical as Mamdani, maybe even more so.
Yes. Yeah.
How can you get more radical than Mamdani unless you're promising to throw the bourgeoisie in prison?
Yeah. Well, let me mention this. So we have a story on AFN.net right now to where Seattle radio host Jason Rance, who's a conservative, warns about Katie Wilson and Mamdani. But before I play that soundbite, I want to mention some of the things on her platform. She is very Mamdani-like. She wants to do something to make affordable housing and affordable and abundant housing. Excuse me. She wants to, quote, Trump-proof Seattle. So she wants to make it to where the federal government can't say and do things in Seattle. She wants to do things like equity. She wants to tap into new revenue streams from, quote, wealthy neighborhoods. She is a socialist here. Just to hear from her a little bit, she, like Mamdani, also wants to do various things involving grocery stores, city-owned grocery stores. She even goes so far as to say that she would not allow grocery stores to close if they didn't see a reason to continue.
Yeah, I read that.
Yeah.
That's a bizarre statement.
It sure is.
Because the threat is, in terms of the policies of Mamdani and what's her name in Seattle?
Katie Wilson.
You know, we need to remember her name. Mm-hmm. But the threat is with government-funded grocery stores, of course, businesses, actual companies, grocery stores, mm-hmm. would not be able to compete. Plus, you have the additional problems of, you know, shoplifting and people just walking in with garbage bags and walking out with stuff and not paying for it.
Yeah.
A lot of crime where people do not want to go into the city to do their grocery shopping. They're afraid of getting carjacked or robbed in the parking lot. So if these grocery stores say, well, you know what, we're just not making money, we're going to leave, I don't know how she thinks she's going to keep them from leaving.
Yeah, well, this is the thing with a lot of politicians. They say things knowing they can't do this, but they will rely on their allies in the media to explain it away for them or run cover for them or bring on people that will agree with her and make it look like she's in the right here. But let's play some Katie Wilson saying grocery stores can't close. Clip 11.
Access to affordable, healthy food is a basic right. We cannot allow giant grocery chains to stomp all over our communities, close stores at will, and leave behind food deserts. Together, we can build a Seattle where fresh food is for everyone, not just for those who can afford it. Food deserts are not natural. Corporations create them when they abandon our communities. As mayor, I'm excited to step up and, with UFCW, explore public option grocery stores to fill those gaps.
I got to tell you, all I want for Christmas is for somebody in government to wake up and say, what can we to not say, like, what can we do to make somebody's life better? What have we done as government people to make people's lives difficult? Because oftentimes the government is to blame for things like even food deserts. The policing was not good enough in these neighborhoods to keep grandma from getting pickpocketed, taking her groceries to the car. There's a reason stores close in bad neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Wesley, this has been a problem in blue states and in blue cities now since Joe Biden was elected. We all have seen the videos in social media of people walking. This is why a lot of drugstores closed, mm-hmm. because people were walking in with bags, because in cities like, I think it was San Francisco, that said, we're not prosecuting crime if it's a theft is under $900.
Yeah.
So people would walk in and they would take $500 worth. And we saw drugstores that had locked cabinets uh-huh. on all their shelves, and you had to ask a person to come and unlock it because you wanted a stick of deodorant. And so these are the kinds of policies that are driving stores out. It's not that they're greedy capitalists. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying greedy capitalists don't exist, but that's not the reason why they're shutting down. They can't make money in these cities.
I used to live in a town in Mississippi that is, as far as I know, one of the only towns in the Milky Way galaxy that Walmart left. And the reason it left is because the employees were turning a blind eye and not ringing up everything at the register, depending on the person they were checking out. There's all kinds of reasons why businesses close.
Oh yeah, they're reasonable, they're justified. Yeah, this is classic Democrats creating a problem and trying to be the solution to the problem when they could have prevented the problem to begin with.
I like that.
Oh, that's exactly what's going on here.
That's good.
And the clip that you just heard from the Seattle, what was her position? She just got elected the mayor?
It hasn't been like official, but she's going to win.
Okay, I got you.
She's above her challenger by a lot, and it's only going to continue that way.
Well, with her, when you hear that clip, that sounds like a communist leader in a third world country, you know, like mm-hmm. Cuba or somewhere like that. It's hard to imagine there's actually a place within the United States borders that has someone that's going to be that most likely to be elected that holds that type of language. And that, you know, years ago, I'll give someone like her a little credit here. And that's that years ago, the Obamas would lie.
Yeah.
She's saying exactly what she's going to do. So yeah. I'd give her some credit for being honest. And I don't know if she'll be able to do all those things. But
you know, they say things. I was just listening. Katie Wilson's just said there in that clip that eating healthy foods is a basic right.
Listen, notes. No, yeah.
When they translate that in socialist terms is we're going to force grocery stores to have these items,
yeah.
like organic foods.
Yeah.
Well, note to Katie Wilson, it costs money to plant those foods.
Right.
It costs money to harvest those foods. Mm. It costs money to transport those foods and package them and all of those sorts of things. Who's going to pay for that?
Yeah. And it costs money to have someone stock them on a shelf.
Yes.
And pay someone to check you out.
Well, yes. In New York City's case, the minimum wage is already $16.50 an hour. It's going to go up a dollar January 1st, and Ma'am Donnie wants it to be $30 an hour.
Yeah, and we live in America. There's food pantries everywhere. Nobody's going to die of starvation in America. You die from other things, but not starvation.
Plus, I don't know how representative it is of everyone who's on SNAP.
Yeah.
Okay, but I have seen people posting videos on social media. Hey, we got our SNAP benefits, or this, we went grocery shopping. I don't see a lot of organic foods in these shopping carts. It's all boxes of Lucky Charms and cookies and Cheez-Its and chips.
And Milky Ways.
Yeah.
And Milky Ways. That's right. So if you want to talk about everyone has a quote-unquote right to eat healthy foods, all right, so limit SNAP benefits to healthy foods,
Several states are trying, but they're being criticized for that.
All right. Mm. Well, folks, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Ed, Fred, Wesley, and Chris will be right back with more of what's happening in your neck of the woods and elsewhere. We're living in a time when truth is under attack. Lies are easy to tell, easy to spread, and easy to believe. But truth is costly. And nowhere is the cost greater than for mothers in crisis. When a woman is told abortion is her only option,
silence and lies surround her. But when she walks into a preborn network clinic, she's met with compassion, support, and the truth about the life growing inside her. That moment of truth happens through a free ultrasound, and it's a game changer. When a mother sees her baby and hears that heartbeat, it literally doubles the chance she'll choose life. Preborn Network clinics are on the front lines, meeting women in their darkest hour, loving them, and helping them choose life and sharing truth. Friend, this is not a time to be silent. It's a time for courage, for truth, for life. Just $28 provides one ultrasound and the opportunity for a mother to see her baby, to help her choose truth and life. Donate today. Call pound 250 and say baby. That's pound 250 baby. Or give online at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
And welcome back. Ed Battagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today and tomorrow. I'm joined in studio by Fred Jackson, Wesley Wildman, Chris Woodward, who is now going to tell us what our next story is.
Yes, I want to point everybody's attention to AFN.net. That is the website for American Family News, where our radio stories end up as print articles and a whole lot more. We have a story right now that Fred posted this morning. The headline is, California revokes 17,000 commercial driver's licenses for illegal immigrants. California, several weeks back, started to look into its review or issuing of commercial driver's licenses to people, including illegal immigrants, based on the concerns from people like Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy that it's not right we have people here illegally and driving trucks, large trucks, on our highways when they can't speak English or read signs in English. So California, to its credit, did look into things, and they have revoked 17,000 of these commercial driver's licenses, again, for illegal immigrants. That story is on AFN.net. As kind of a meanwhile here, Florida's Attorney General, James Uthmeyer, was on Fox talking about this issue, and he said that he's actually taking California to court over the fact that they issued these licenses to begin with. Clip 9.
First, we're going to prosecute this guy in court to the fullest. He's looking at many decades behind bars before he would ultimately get deported. And here's the thing. Our investigation shows he failed his CDL license exam 10 times in the 2 months before this tragedy took place. We are investigating criminally and civilly not only the license company that wrongfully gave him this license, he cannot speak English, but we're also suing California and Gavin Newsom in the United States Supreme Court, because we can do everything right here in Florida. We're a law and order state. It's illegal to give any license to illegal aliens. But when California engages in this unlawful behavior, we are harmed. We suffer. So we're going to hold him accountable in court.
You know, Fred, I did not know that about this guy. Now, folks, this Chris is a nice guy. Okay, he really is.
I'm gonna put that up.
But I'm not gonna give California any credit because the reason why they are revoking these 17,000 commercial driver's licenses for illegals is because they're being forced to because of the threat of lawsuits like Florida and Attorney General Uthmeyer is engaging in. I did not know that this man, and what I was going to say is this was kind of, as our article says on AFN, this was thrust into the public's consciousness after this 18-wheeler driver pulls a U-ey on an interstate.
In Florida,
doesn't make it and is straddling the lanes going in the opposite direction, and people died as a result of that. I didn't know until this story here that Chris told us about that this guy failed his commercial driver's license test 10 times.
Yeah.
And was still given a license.
Yes. So, point number one to be made here, Newsom and the Democrats in California knew what they were doing. They knew they were giving commercial truck driving licenses to illegal aliens.
Yeah.
They knew that. And when this horrible incident in Florida happened, this California 18-wheeler driver, did this U-turn on an interstate, and tragically a family of
three
died in that. And initially, California was criticized, and they denied there was a problem.
Yeah, mm-hmm,
that's right.
You don't know what you're talking about.
Weeks and weeks.
Yes. But what happened in recent days, Transportation Secretary Duffy has announced, we're going to withdraw federal dollars unless you change your policy. And then all of a sudden, California announces, we're revoking those 17,000 commercial driver's licenses that have been issued to illegal aliens. Read that story, folks. It is to illegal aliens, all right? Now, I saw some analysis on this morning from someone in the trucking industry who said, now listen to this, folks, the 17,000 that you're hearing about California is the tip of the iceberg. This guy estimates there are some 200,000 truck drivers in America that should not have these CDLs.
Now, not all of them from California.
But no.
To the point is,
this is across the country.
They're driving on our highways.
Yes.
And many of them may start off in California, but then they drive across country. And that's what happened in Florida.
Yes.
This guy coming from all the way across country. Wesley, here's another problem. We talked about this in our story meeting this morning. Another problem is when you do things like this, like California's done, by giving these commercial driver's licenses to illegals, at least some of whom, maybe many of whom, cannot even read the signs in English, you then make our economic system dependent on these 200,000 drivers driving. And if you start getting rid of them, now you're going to have a shortage of drivers. The trucking firms know it.
Mm-hmm.
They use these folks, but our economy is still based in a large part on trucking. What? And so now the rest of us suffer because California and some of these other states are doing what is clearly wrong in the first place.
What's the incentive of the trucking companies to hire the illegal immigrants? You know, in some cases, like manual work in the yard or other places, illegal immigrants are incentivized because they get paid either cash or you can pay cheaper rates. But with your truck driving, I figured that'd be a pretty flat fee depending upon how many hours you drive. Or is that not true? I mean, what's it? Not necessarily?
No.
Okay. Well, okay. So there is some incentive for them to hire illegal immigrants.
There are federal limitations on how many hours a truck driver can drive,
right,
before they have to take a break. But I think it's really up to the truck driving companies how much they pay.
Okay. Well, then, yeah, this is obviously going to create a problem. But you're going to have. But they're revoking 17,000 commercial driver license. And I hope that the state of some of these lawsuits will hold up. I mean, how long will it take though for that process for us to see any results?
Months before
there's no telling. And you know, this is one of the jobs that the federal government does have, which is to oversee interstate commerce.
Right.
Okay. So this is a constitutional power. The Constitution doesn't name a Department of Transportation, but it does give Congress that authority. Mm-hmm. And we have the Department of Transportation. So I think the Trump administration is on solid legal ground here. Taking even the federal government, I think, could take states to court if they are not heeding federal regulations. And I think, like Fred is saying, Wesley, the reason why some of these trucking companies are hiring illegal immigrants is the same reason a chicken plant hires illegal immigrants or some other business hires illegal immigrants. Mm-hmm. They can pay them less.
Yeah.
Now, those illegal immigrants are making more money in America, even getting paid less than they would make in their own country. So that's their reason for doing it. But it's the innocent family, like the three who died in Florida, and the economic impact that the rest of us suffer.
And to add to all this, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it correct. He also is not qualified. He failed
right
10 times in addition to being here illegally, in addition to be given an illegal license, commercial driver's license, in addition, and then he fails the test 10 times.
10 times.
So did he even pass it? I don't think he ever passed. And I don't.
I don't know. That's a good question. It said he failed it 10 times. Mm-hmm. He also couldn't read English. Yeah. Couldn't understand English.
And I think in New York, that issued a CDL to a guy. He didn't even have to give his name.
Yeah.
There was no name on the CDL.
Oklahoma Governor Kevin Stitt brought that to light because Oklahoma had a sting operation on I-40, which, for those not familiar with it, I-40 runs is pretty much how goods get across the country.
Oh,
from
yeah.
California up through Memphis and onward. And so Oklahoma had a sting on I-40 and did a bunch of license checks and found that guy driving with a license that didn't
with
even
no
have
name.
On it.
With no name on it.
Listen. I just don't know what to say about that.
I know.
I don't know what to say about that. They issued a driver's license without a name on it.
Yeah.
Yep.
So some bureaucrat in New York thought that was a good idea.
Yeah.
I don't know. Did they get slipped $20 through the slot in the window or something? That's just bizarre.
Yeah. You know, some of these people, some of these businesses may say something like, well, look, I'm having a difficult time trying to find people that want to work. And the incentive to work in America is missing today. We should make work incentive great again, okay? But at the same time, that person is probably getting a job versus the other person that's trying to, because it's cheaper to hire that guy than it is to hire the American. I mean, there's all kinds of problems, and really we need to sit and have this difficult but necessary conversation over these kinds of things and not taxpayer subsidies for somebody to get health insurance.
Well, and also, too, this is just a reasonable explanation to this. If you're paying, if a company is paying for illegal immigrants cheaper per hour, then your American citizen is not going to want to lower their cost per hour to meet the number of the illegal immigrant. Of course they're not going to want to work or want that job.
And I've read a lot of people who are truck drivers saying that precise thing. No, I can't find a job because these companies are hiring people beneath a livable wage. Now, for these illegal immigrants, like I said, they're making more money than they ever made before.
That's right.
Getting paid less. But Americans who do it the right way, Fred, are pushed out of the market. Now some of these people, because they can't get a job driving trucks, they look for another career.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you do have shortages.
Well,
if you get rid of the illegals.
That's a problem. And I think we should take a survey. The federal government should take a survey of the 41 million people on SNAP.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a project for Doge, or you know, somebody else has got to pick that.
The Trump administration has said, and the Democrats are fighting this, mm-hmm. they want tougher qualifications for those who are collecting food benefits.
I agree.
All right. And in particular, they're looking at young males out there. A young, healthy male should not be on SNAP.
Nope.
Right.
They should not be. And, I mean, they ought to be forced into working or you get nothing.
Yes.
And this is part of the problem, too. 41 million people in America collecting food benefits?
Isn't that, it's like a seventh of the population or something crazy. I forget what I've seen this put in a percentage.
That would be about right, yeah.
But
of the adult population.
Of the adult population. Might even be a sixth of the adult population. But it's, you know, we all recognize that during COVID and after COVID, a lot of things went downhill in our country.
Yes.
I hear people talking all the time, see them on social media. Restaurants just aren't the same. Fast food certainly isn't the same.
No.
Customer service isn't the same. The people who are working, sometimes some of them, okay, they treat customers like they're an imposition.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there was a big shift, and every time people talk about, well, we're going to have a universal basic income,
mm-hmm.
I just remember COVID. You start paying people to stay home, guess what? A lot of them do.
Yeah.
And they don't work.
You know, we began the show talking about how, you know, amazingly, like, Republicans didn't cave over the shutdown situation. And talking about the UBI stuff, the universal basic income, I've covered that for a long time now. And several Republicans or center-right people have been open to that idea because they say it could be a way to get rid of things like SNAP. But if you think a government person that's been voted into office for 50 years on things like SNAP is going to let something like that go away,
no,
you do have a problem.
No. The government is showing its utter incompetence in a lot of ways. DOGE was just, you know, the Department of Government Efficiency. What they were finding was just the tip of the iceberg in terms of waste. Mm. We were talking about the subsidies for Obamacare. Mm-hmm. And as you say, Fred, yesterday sometime this week, was it 11 million people had those subsidies to get Obamacare? The money was going to insurance companies, but the people weren't using them.
Yeah,
they didn't even know they had those.
Melman Oz, who oversees Medicare, Medicaid,
yeah,
he made that statement. That's one of the things that they're looking at. People who should not be getting it are getting this money, and it's costing American taxpayers billions of dollars.
Yeah. All right. Well, my blood pressure is just... going through the roof
here. This would be a good time to next story.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
How about another story, Chris?
Well, we need to continue our conversation just for a moment about members of Congress because...
You're not going to let it go, are you?
No.
You're not going to let me off this treadmill.
All right. So as we have reported on AFN, Nancy Pelosi is not going to seek re-election. Speaking of people that have been in office for decades, she's not going to seek re-election. And at least one person has already thrown his hat in the ring for her seat. And that is San Francisco State Senator Scott Wiener is going to run for Nancy Pelosi's congressional seat. And one person that's already on record as saying, I'm not voting for this guy, is Greg Bird of California Family Council, who had this to say about Scott Wiener. Clip 12.
Well, if you think Nancy Pelosi's liberal, Scott Wiener is on steroids liberal. Everything from ending the war on drugs to legalizing prostitution to he passed a bill here to let men into women's prisons. He has outlawed Christians from being homeschool foster parents. He has turned California into a designation to get surgical, they call it transgender, gender affirming care for minors. So any kid from another state who is kidnapped to California, California will take temporary custody so they can get their puberty blocker or steroids if they believe they're a different sex. This guy is the worst of the worst.
Now, I did ask Greg yesterday. I don't have this audio, but I asked Greg. I said, look, you know, by the way, when Scott Wiener announced he was going to run, he got almost $1 million that night at a fundraising event.
Listen, you think he's liberal. His father, Oscar Mayer, he was way wacky left.
Very true. No baloney in what you're saying there, sir.
That's
all right. But,
I'm sorry, folks. I had to.
I did ask Greg. I said, you know, it takes a lot of money, and you have to appeal to a lot of people to make it to Congress. Any chance that, you know, he might be more of a moderate or at least portray himself as more of a moderate if he were to run and actually get elected? No chance of that. And Greg Burt also pointed out, again, I don't have this audio, that Senator Wiener is one of the people that when you criticize him or you question his policies, he labels you a homophobe, a Nazi, something very, very bad.
So he's very constructive. And
yeah.
Wait, so he's from San Francisco and he's homosexual?
Yes.
That is, I'm shocked. Shocked.
Yes.
Listen, I don't think a moderate... Fred, I'll go to you and then Wesley. I don't think a moderate can get elected in on the Democratic side of the political spectrum. You know, John Fetterman is probably going to wind up getting primaried, the Democrat senator. He's probably going to wind up getting primaried because he's at least moderate and a fairly logical person.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think a moderate, what we would call a moderate, can get elected in the Democratic Party. I think they're all going to be like mm-hmm. Scott Wiener. They're all going to be pushing the envelope as far left as they can get it.
Yep. And they have that constituency in these cities. We've talked about the probably the new mayor of Seattle a moment ago. I'm still in shock about New Yorkers voting in Mamdani. I'm amazed that that city could make such a turn.
Well, now we did point out, and we do want to be fair. Well, I don't know if this is fair, but that natural-born American voters in New York City voted for Cuomo.
Yes.
It was the foreign-born
yes.
who have come to this country that and young women
yes.
under 30
yes.
by like 80% mm-hmm. to whatever.
Yeah. But he became a media darling, too.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much to that. I think we have to be honest. America is severely divided right now.
Oh, yeah.
Ideologically across this country. And, you know, it is, I go back to an education system for the last 50 years
yeah.
that has indoctrinated our young people. And those young people are now politicians. They're now judges. They're now teachers and professors.
Yeah.
I think we have a clip of a teacher, was it in
Rhode Island?
In Rhode Island, mm-hmm. who's against a Turning Point USA club in their high school.
Yes.
This is what he had to say about Charlie Kirk.
Clip 8.
What a piece of garbage. This is what happens. I'm curious if we're going to want to take guns away now from who will inevitably be the white man who shot and killed him. Bye, Charlie.
Now, this is a teacher who made that video of himself saying this.
Yes.
He is proud to say, you know, I'm glad that Charlie Kirk died. He's a teacher in a high school and is now, you know, fighting the idea of having a Turning Point USA club.
He blamed Charlie Kirk for getting shot.
Yes.
Because he said, this guy, mm-hmm. Charlie Kirk's a piece of garbage. This is what happens. Yeah. In other words, you hold these views, mm-hmm. you publicly state these views, you get shot.
And people wonder why their kid that they took to church and loved on goes off to college and comes back a completely different person, voting in ways they didn't expect.
Was this a high school? This is a high school student.
A high school teacher, right? Yeah.
Yes. So to Fred's point, this has been going on lower and lower grade levels where mm-hmm. not only are they being taught that America is a terrible nation, they refuse to teach about the Christian founding principles of this nation, and then they explicitly, mm-hmm. not all, I want to make that clear, but they explicitly promote the ideology of cultural Marxism and outright socialism.
Yes. So move to the South.
But if you leave your politics behind, that's true.
You mention that because I already covered this story and I don't have the soundbite, Adam. But in recent weeks, a guy named David Randall wrote an article in the Federalist, and it was about how Alaska schools have social studies standards that omit George Washington, Abe Lincoln, and Christianity. And that's just the start. That's just the headline. I talked to David about this, and he said, you know, you should be concerned because Alaska is generally a red state in elections. So you might think, well, I'll go to the Southeast. But you might still stumble across a school system or somewhere with a liberal superintendent that says you must teach things this way.
Yeah, and a lot of the blue cities and the blue states are ignoring explicit instructions from the Department of Education to avoid teaching DEI and critical race theory. They're just ignoring it.
Yep.
They'll rename it as something else but continue to teach it. Now, listen, Wesley, as your dad always says, we are a split nation, but the split isn't like it used to be 30, 40 years ago. This split is in two completely different directions, mutually exclusive worldviews, and now we have mayors of major cities who are promoting explicitly socialist ideas. And my concern is that they are going to so damage this country that government will appear to be the only hope and people will surrender their liberties in order to have safety in the streets and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, they're going just as fast in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
The two ideas are, yeah, that's a concern of mine. I feel like that was going to happen or still could happen as a result of the mass invasion during the Biden administration at the border, southern border. I felt like that was a one of the many reasons that they meaning Biden and his administration supported that so much, and the Democratic Party, so that they can create such a problem that the government has to be seem as if they have to step in and fix it. You know, but this is why, as Christians, we have to stay involved. That's why we do the radio program that we're doing right now. And that's the reason that we have different radio programs throughout the day. And we do the mission at AFA to inform, equip, and to activate individuals and families to strengthen the moral foundation of our culture. And that may be the case, but it won't be without AFR and AFA doing our part and our listeners doing their part and staying engaged, showing up to vote, and trusting God.
And people are waking up. I will say that, that over the last 5 years, a lot of people who didn't pay attention to what was going on in our country are paying attention, and they are looking for sources of information. This is why alternative media across the board has grown in popularity, because people have realized you can't trust the mainstream media. You can't trust professors. With COVID, you couldn't even trust some of the medical people who are supposedly experts. What people are seeing through the climate change agenda, and so now they are looking for reliable sources of truth.
Yeah, you have a lot less Christians on the sidelines now than we did a decade ago. We're having a lot more people. Red states are getting redder. Blue states are getting bluer. So it will be interesting to see where we're at 20 years from now. You know, do you have a Cali exit? You know, do you have? Because I'm okay with that now.
Well, but just listening to what Chris was saying about Alaska, I would thought Alaska be one of the. Let me tell you something, Alaska. If you're listening,
do something.
Russians and the communist Chinese are eyeballing you.
Right.
You really want to go socialist? Go left? You may wind up being a star on a different flag.
Do you know what to do, Alaska?
Do you know what to do? All right, folks, we're going to take a short 5-minute break for other information that needs to come your way and news. But guess what? We'll be right back here. You want to join us.